Hello, I'm Jim Richards. I want to welcome you to today's broadcast. I tell you what, I'm starting a new series, and really, we're going to be talking about the heart of the gospel. We're going to be talking about one of the most basic, fundamental factors about where faith comes from and how we come alive to God and how we involve ourselves with all the promises of God. Because you see, it's really not about formulas. It's not about being able to jump through the right hoops. It's about actually having faith in and communing with Jesus at the cross. You see, the cross of Christ is the power of God. And I'm telling you, we are living in an age when people don't even totally get what that means. You know, it's one of those things that you can talk about, you can have discussions about, you know all the right terminology, but as far as actually being able to experience the power of the cross, that's something that very few people know how to do, even though it's right there in the Bible. But you're going to learn how in this series. You know, it's an amazing thing that the message of the cross is really what gets you saved. It's the message of the cross that gets you healed. It's the message of the cross that gets you delivered. Everything happens around the message of the cross. But what is so incredibly amazing is how little most people really know about the cross. You know, when I got saved, I really didn't know hardly anything about the cross. As a matter of fact, you know, some of you who have heard my testimony, you know, I couldn't get anybody to tell me how to get saved. I visited churches. I went to preachers' offices and, you know, knocked on the door and said, "Hey, man, I'm Jim Richards. I'm a musician and a drug dealer, and I'm dying, and I know I'm going to hell, and I need to know how to find God." And, you know, nobody would tell me. The amazing thing is one day, a friend of mine, a fellow musician, we were putting together a new band, and we were driving over to a city about 30 minutes from here to try out a new drummer. And on the way, he started telling me about his cousin who, according to him, had gotten religion. Now, of course, that, you know, we didn't know the term getting saved. We didn't know anything about that. We're just pagan hippies, you know, that just knew nothing about God. And so he starts cussing and criticizing his cousin who had been witnessing to him. And he's ranting and raving, and his cousin's name was Ernie. He's like, "That blank, blank Ernie, he's got the blank, blank religion." And see, Ernie was one of our sources for being able to get drugs, and so that messed that up for us, and we were all mad about it. So he's like, "That blank, blank Ernie just wants to talk about Jesus, and he's telling me if you're not blank, blank for God, you're blank, blank against him." And man, he's cussing and ranting and raving. So in the process of this, he tells me a little bit about Jesus being crucified. And I didn't even hardly know what that meant, if you really want to know the truth. But it's amazing, no more than I knew, when I let him out of my car for the first time in my life, I realized, first of all, you're never neutral. You're either for God or you're against God, and there's really not an in-between ground. And everything you do and everything you say and everything about your life is either for God or against God, and no matter what your intentions are. And so for the first time in my life, I knew I wasn't in neutral. But somehow, I got enough of the gospel that I prayed a prayer. I prayed a sinner's prayer. And my sinner's prayer was kind of like this. It was like, "Look, God, I don't really understand this, but here's the deal. You know, this got something to do with Jesus dying for me or something. And so if you'll take my life, I'll give you my life. And, you know, I'm not going to play church, and I'm not going to believe everything anybody says. I got to read a Bible for myself, and I got to see it for myself before I'm going to believe it. And if that's cool with you, I'm giving you my life." That was pretty much my sinner's prayer. You know, and it was amazing that day. I not only got born again, but that day I came straight off of drugs. That day I had been having seizures for I don't even know how long, for at least a year and a half from an overdose of drugs that I'd taken, very severe, very regular seizures. And I never had another seizure after that. There were just a list of things that happened that just miraculously happened in my life. And, you know, I barely knew anything about what Jesus did at the cross, but I was willing to believe that if that was God's terms, if that's what God wanted me to believe, I was willing to believe it. And, you know, from that day until this day, I've known that my message was to be the message of the cross. But, you know, it's taken me years, even though I understood more and more about it. You know, I went to Bible college, I've got a doctor's degree in theology and all of that. gave me more information about the cross, but the real truth is it was a long time before I connected the dots on really walking in faith and using my faith around what Jesus did at the cross instead of using my faith to believe about what Jesus did when he was alive, when he walked planet Earth. You know, when Jesus walked planet Earth, he showed me what God was like. He showed me how God would treat people. He modeled and showed us what it would look like if we would really yield ourselves to God and if we would let the grace of God manifest in us by the Holy Spirit, how we could walk in the power of God. So he showed us what a man looked like yielding to God, but he showed us what God looked like in relationship to man. But none of that has anything to do with the basis or the place where we operate faith for anything relating to salvation, relating to healing, relating to prosperity, relating to any miracle. Anything that relates to the promise of God or any of the promises of God revolves around what Jesus did at the cross. And, you know, we've put together all kinds of formulas over the years, man alive, the hoops that people have tried to jump through to try to get their faith to work. And all of these years later, you know, I knew there was something wrong when I was hearing so much of this stuff, but all these years later, I came to realize that if your faith is not in the cross, and the cross has to do with what Jesus did or what occurred between Jesus and God and mankind from the time he was crucified, he died, and he was raised from the dead, what he did in heaven as a result of the resurrection, and all the way up to him sitting down at the right hand of God. Every aspect of what we have in God is based on the cross. Now, I want you to understand something. This is something I've known since the very beginning of my walk with God. We have enough faith for anything. You know, getting born again is a resurrection from the dead. It's you dying and being raised up a new person. If you've got enough faith to get born again, you have enough faith for anything. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that faith is in fact a gift from God. And so every person has a measure of faith. Every person has all the faith that they need. Man, you know, for years and years and years, we were just beat up. And we heard these terribly condescending sermons about us not having enough faith. And, you know, I understand that most of those people weren't trying to be condescending. And looking back now, I understand what they were trying to say. But the truth is, most of the time, if you had a need in your life, or if you were sick, or you needed a God to work a miracle in your life, you know, you would go to one of these meetings, and somebody would pray for you. And if you didn't get your miracle, it was always going to be your fault, and the problem was always going to be you don't have enough faith. You know something? That is just such a horrible thing to do to a person. To take a person who's already beaten down, to take a person who's already on bottom, take a person who's already just on the verge of giving up and just throwing one more rock on their grave. You don't have enough faith. Man alive, that is just so mean and heartless. Let me tell you something. Anything you're going to learn by being exposed to me, my teaching, this ministry, is you got enough faith. But if you're placing your faith in the wrong place or the wrong things, then that faith can't produce the promises of God. You know, I first got saved, and this is really important for everything that I do in the ministry, but it's really important for this series because I want to tell you something. We're talking about the crucifixion of Jesus. We're talking about the center point of where the power of God for every aspect of salvation, and you know, salvation is about getting born again. It's about getting healed and delivered and blessed and prospered and made whole and set apart. You know, it's about getting called and chosen and anointed. Everything that has to do with what we have in Jesus is salvation. And the power of God for salvation is manifest in the good news about what occurred at the cross. And I'll tell you, even the way we've heard the message of the cross is usually something that just beat us up and made us feel ashamed and low down and dirty because of the price that Jesus had to pay. And I tell you, we just miss what that's really, really all about. But you know, when I first got saved, I remember, and I wasn't trying to be rebellious. You know, I wanted to know God. I wanted to walk with God. I wanted to experience everything that was in the Bible. And as far as I was concerned, from day one in my walk with God, I knew that I didn't know anything about God, but I knew that the Bible was true. I knew and everything I read in there, every promise I saw, that's true. And everything that I saw that God ever did for anybody, I knew that God had never changed, because God is God and God doesn't change. And that was that was my theology then. You know, we know now that the Bible says that God doesn't ever change. But I just knew that because He was God, He didn't change. And I knew that anything that He had ever done for anyone else ever in history, that He would do for me. I didn't realize that that was a part of the covenant that I have in Jesus, that God made a covenant with Jesus where all of the inheritance, all the promises became His, and because I am in Him, I share in all those promises. But you know, I thought everything should work, and I figured if it didn't work, I wasn't beating myself up, I wasn't putting myself down, but my approach to walking with God, my approach to faith was always, if there's any promise of God that's not working in my life, the problem is never God's. The problem is always with me, and I've just got to figure out my part of this situation. And so I asked questions, and when something wasn't working, I want to know why it wasn't working, and I want to know how to get it working. So when I first started going to church, I went to a little denominational church, and it was a great church. Those people were so kind to me. They were so merciful to me, and they put up with me through a lot of things that other people would not have put up with. But you know, I asked questions, and I was really an annoyance to those people. But the thing that used to drive me nuts was I'd go to church, and I would hear these messages about what we ought to do, or what we need it to be doing. But down in the South here, we use the word ought to. The words ought to. You ought to be doing this. You ought to be praying more. You ought to be living better. You ought to be this. You ought to be that. Well, you know, ought to preaching is, it sounds good, but most of us know what we ought to be doing. Our problem is we don't know how to do it. We don't know how to get it to work. We don't know how to get this gospel to work in our lives in a way that we're really experiencing the life and the power of God. So you know, I would always ask this question. You know, at the end of a message, I would, if it was a Wednesday night, I'd raise my hand and like, I got a question, or I'd walk up to the pastor afterwards and I said, you know, I understand what you're telling us we ought to do, but how do you do that? And you know what I found, and I'm not trying to be critical, I've found, and this is after 40 years of walking with God, I have found that the majority of times when somebody's preaching an ought-to message and they're not telling you how to, that they don't know how to themselves. And that doesn't mean they're bad people. They're preaching what they know to preach, but they just can't really tell you how to get it to work in their lives. Because most preachers, just like most believers, have tried everything. We've tried every formula. We put our faith in all of these different formulas. We put our faith in all these different movements and messages and trends and fads. And we put our faith in what Jesus did as a man when he was walking planet Earth, but we didn't put our faith in what happened at the cross. And even when we did try to put our faith in what happened at the cross, the truth is, we didn't know how to bring it alive to us. We didn't know how to enter into that place of experiencing God. Remember, you know, two key scriptures that I always link together is John 10:10. Jesus said, "I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Let me tell you something. God wants you to have abundant life. God wants you to have an incredible life. God wants your life full. God wants you to be well and happy and prosperous and whole. Now, you may be sitting there saying, "Well, but I'm sick and I'm broke and I'm depressed and I don't have a good relationship and nobody loves me and da da da." You know, and you can take that and get mad at God. You can try to defend yourself, which is what most people do. But you can't get out of your problems by being angry at God. You can't get out of your problems by saying it's God's fault, that God's not doing His part. You know, you don't beat yourself up. You don't condemn yourself, but you just make it really, really clear. God has done His part. That's why we call it a finished work. God's part of this is finished. I just don't know how to do my part. I tell you, I can't even tell you how many times I've just had to admit, I don't know how to solve this problem. I don't know what I've got to do or walk through or believe or trust to have this work out. But I do know this. I know God. And I know that every day, as much as I know how, I'm going to get up and follow Him. And I know that eventually in following Him, He is going to lead me to how to solve this situation. You know, it's really interesting. A few months ago, I went through a situation where I faced a really serious health crisis. Honestly, for too many years, I worked too hard. I ran too hard. I worked too long. I worked long hours. You know, I'm up in the middle of the night studying and praying. I'm jumping on planes and flying all over the place and recording messages. You know, I wasn't doing any of that out of ego. I wasn't doing any of that to try to build a ministry. I just was passionate about what I do. I had a lot of compassion for people. I want to help people. But I'm going to tell you something. I knew a crash was coming because for a few years, and many of you heard me mention this, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, I was in a really serious head-on accident, 65-mile-an-hour head-on accident. And the interesting thing about this accident is, out of all of these things that happened to me, there's some things that I experienced incredible instantaneous miracles, and there's some things that were a process of walking out. And I've never really questioned that. You know, I've always known that everything should have been an instantaneous miracle, but you know what? We got issues, we got fears, we got things we're all struggling with, but I always knew and trusted that no matter what I face, God was going to show me the solution. And so, I had a physical crash about 3 months ago, and what sent me over the edge was I got a really bad infection, and that infection just zapped me at the last of my energy, and bam, I was in bed. And I'm telling you, I was in bed for weeks. And but what was interesting is I knew in my heart, we were getting ready for our World Changer meeting for the year, and really I was so fatigued going into that. I thought, you know, I'll never make it through this. And I thought about, you know, canceling or changing it, but I had this peace in my heart, have this meeting, and I knew in this meeting I was either going to get healed or somebody was going to give me an insight that was going to show me how to walk out of my situation. Well, sure enough, at the end of the meeting, everybody left and gone home, and a lady came back by the house and talked with Brenda and had some things to share and came in and sat down, and we talked for a while, and she gave me the insights that I needed to walk out of the situation that I'm in. Let me tell you something. We're not talking about whose fault it is, but I'm saying I'm always the one that's got to make the adjustments. I'm always the one that's got to follow God. I can't try to lead God to make things happen. But I want you to know that whenever your trust is in the cross, you're not just going to be dealing with information. You're not just going to be dealing with formulas and jumping on the latest trends. When your confidence is in the cross of Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, when that is your confidence, you know that as sure as there was a resurrection, that there is always a resurrection for you in your situation. You know, whenever your faith is in the cross of Christ, you know that no matter what you're facing, there's always a solution, because when Jesus came up out of that grave, man, He conquered every problem. There is nothing left undone in the resurrection of Jesus. There's not a battle that He didn't win. The question is, how do I connect with that? How does that work with me? And so I want you to realize we're going to be teaching you how to connect with and activate your faith through communing with Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. You know, the Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 2. And he's telling the Corinthians, he said, listen, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Then verse 4 and 5, he says this, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I like the way the Message Bible says this. I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophy. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First Jesus, who He is, then Jesus and what He did, which is Jesus crucified. See, here's the paradox of the cross. The message of the cross is an incredibly simple message. in that Jesus became our sin. Jesus died. Jesus took the punishment that we would have deserved. Jesus conquered all of our problems. Jesus was raised from the dead, rising above all that into newness of life, and we are in Him and we share in that newness of life. That's as simple as it can get. But while on the one hand the message itself is incredibly simple, the whole ramifications of the cross, the whole accomplishments of the cross is incredibly complex. It's incredibly complex to realize that what all was accomplished through the death, burial, and resurrection. It's incredibly complex, or can be complex, let me put it this way. Our problems seem complex until we know how to bring them back to the simplicity of the cross. And that's the thing you're going to learn in this series. How do I bring my life's problems back to the simplicity of the cross so that I really, really get results? You see, the resurrection of Jesus is the focal point of all eternity. Everything comes back to the resurrection of Jesus. And I want you to realize something. We live in a day, man, I'm telling you something. People don't know the Old Testament. It amazes me how ignorant people are of the Old Testament, how unessential they think the Old Testament is. Let me tell you something. Every sacrifice, every ritual, every ceremony in the Old Testament is a type of what Jesus accomplished through His death, burial, and resurrection. Man, and people are ignorant of all of those things. Every little nuance of what Jesus accomplished, we got to see a glimpse of what it would look like. We got to see a glimpse of what it would mean in these Old Testament sacrifices, ceremonies, and rituals. So, the cross is incredibly complex when you look at the totality of what was accomplished. But it's incredibly simple if you know how to bring all of your problems, all of your issues, all of your struggles to the cross and evaluate them in light of the death, burial, and resurrection. You see, our problem is we neutralize the cross because we put our faith in fads, we put our faith in formulas, we put our faith in preachers. You know, Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 1:17. He was telling the Corinthian believers, he says, look, he didn't baptize any of them. He said, Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Christ, the power and the wisdom of God. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Let me tell you something. The cross is neutralized when our trust is in the wisdom, the formulas, the way somebody's explained it to us, hoping somebody's got a special anointing, hoping somebody else can bring us some part of God that we can't get a hold of. He says this is the power of God for those of us who are being saved. Now, let me tell you something. That's a concept most people don't know. We have been born again, but we are continually being or experiencing salvation in new ways. And we experience salvation in new ways when we bring every problem to the cross of Christ. And there at the cross, we experience the salvation that Jesus brought us through His death, burial, and resurrection. Let me tell you something. Before this week is over, before this series is over, you're gonna learn to live in an ongoing experience of salvation in the newness of life. You're gonna learn how to daily walk in your faith. You're gonna realize God in ways that you never realized Him in incredibly practical aspects. Listen, I'm gonna come back in just a few minutes. I got a mentoring moment where I want to share the first practical aspect of what you can do to start putting this into practice. But I just want you to make up your mind right now. From this day forward, I am going to learn to bring all of my problems, all of my struggles, all of my issues to the cross. And it will be at the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection, where I will solve every problem that I have. I will deal with every issue that I have. And at that place, I will transform my life through the death, burial, and resurrection. I'll be back with you in just a minute. You know, the good news about all this is I'm going to show you how to put this into practice. I'm not just going to tell you what you ought to do. I'm going to show you what you can do. I don't want to leave you with a message where you're just hanging, wishing you knew what to do. We're going to learn how to commune with Christ at the cross. But this week, it's all got to start with you making a decision that you're going to bring everything thing to the cross of Christ. Now listen, there's a way that we're going to help you do this, because people say, you know, I just forget. I just don't think about it. You know, I have something I developed years ago called the belief bands. This is my personal belief band that I wear, and here's another color belief band. And one of them says, I am complete in Him, and it also says, all things are possible. And so with the belief band, one of the things that you do is this, and is anytime you catch yourself worrying, thinking negatively, thinking anything destructive, you take this belief band and you literally pop your wrist like that. Because what you want to do is you want to interrupt that destructive thought and remind yourself that you want to focus your attention somewhere else. Now, everybody that purchases the series is going to get a belief band just as a gift to start using with this. And if you're not planning on purchasing the series, get you a rubber band. Just get you a big old thick rubber band. That's fine. But what you want to do is you want to, the moment you have any issue, got any problem, any struggle, and you catch yourself thinking negatively, your self-talk is negative, you pop that thing and you say, oh, I got to take this to the cross of Christ. Now, that may seem minimal. That may seem like it's not very spiritual, but I'm going to tell you something. That's what the Bible says, dude. The Bible says that we got to bring all things to the cross of Christ. So we got to solve all problems. But our biggest issue is we've taught ourselves to think negatively and destructively and unscripturally for so long that we have to direct our thoughts.